And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Tree at My Window, is written by Mark Siegel and based on material supplied by the Mizrahi Women's Organization of America.
There is a tree at my window. On a sunny Sabbath afternoon, I can see the gleaming white buildings and the copper-colored fields of my village through its foliage. And at night, as I lie in bed, I can smell the sweet scent of its fruit. The tree at my window is an orange tree. And perhaps you will know then that my village, my home, is in Israel. It may not seem a big thing to you to have a tree at your window, but for me, in a way, it's everything in the world. 10 years ago, in 1948, when I first came here, there was nothing green to be seen. On my first day in this children's village, I was taken to the office of the principal to be interviewed.
Come in, son. Sit down. Shalom.
Shalom.
What's your name, son?
Jacob.
My name is David. I'd like to ask you some questions.
Why must there always be questions?
Perhaps to find your family, Jacob.
You won't find them. No one will find them.
We can keep trying, Jacob. We're your friends here. You know that, don't you?
Yes. I know that.
Then let's go on. How old are you?
About 13.
You don't know just how old you are?
No, sir.
Well, never mind. The card here says you were in Cyprus, that you came with a group from Poland. Do you remember where you were before that?
Only where they put this on my arm. The number.
Let me look at it. That was Auschwitz. Were your parents with you there?
No, sir. They were...
I understand. I think that's enough of questions for now, Jacob. We'll talk again another time.
Yes, sir.
Oh, one thing more. On this card, there's no last name.
They never called me anything but Jacob.
For the time being, we'll give you a name then. Suppose we call you Ben-Ami.
Ben-Ami?
Yes. It means son of my people. Here in this children's village, there are many Ben-Amis.
It is 10 years, but I remember that first day clearly, moment by moment. And why shouldn't I remember it? It was the first day of a new life. Already I had a new name. Later, my counselor, Yitzhak, showed me to my new home.
This will be your room, Jacob.
This whole room? All for me?
It really isn't very big.
And a window. A beautiful window to look out of.
Most rooms have windows, don't they, Jacob?
It opens.
Windows generally open.
In Auschwitz, 8 people lived in a room without a window. And in Cyprus, we lived in a metal hut.
Yes, but that's all over now, Jacob. You certainly know a lot of geography, don't you?
Do I?
Too much for your age. Well, let me tell you a little about the village.
Please.
Some of the children you came with will also live in this house. The others have already been here for a little while.
Are they all my size?
No, some are older, some younger. We're like a family. Also, there are a few rules. You must keep your room clean. That's the first rule.
And the others?
If a younger child needs help, you must always help him. Will you remember that?
Yes, I'll remember.
If we all follow that rule, it means the older children will help you when you need it.
I don't need their help.
That remains to be seen. Meanwhile, follow the rules.
These are the only rules? These two?
No, Jacob, there are many others. But don't worry about them. Soon you'll help make them yourself.
I will make the rules?
You and all the other children. You see, there's a student council here. You elect the council, and it makes the rules. That's how the village runs.
The children here must be very smart to have made up such an idea.
They're smart, all right. But they didn't make it up, Jacob. It's an old idea, as old as the Bible. It's what's called democracy.
That was how it was. The ideas were all old. But for me, everything was new. Study especially was new. And preparation for my bar mitzvah, that was new too.
Baruch ato Hashem, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher bocha bonu mikal ha'amim. Come in! Oh, it's you, Yitzhak.
Thought I'd see how you were coming along, Jacob.
Except for the mistakes. I know every word.
That's the way it always is. Don't worry, you won't make any mistakes.
How do you know I won't?
I know how hard you've worked for almost 3 months. I'm proud of you, Jacob.
Thank you, Yitzhak.
Don't thank me. Thank yourself. I've never seen a boy work harder preparing for his bar mitzvah.
I still hope I don't make any mistakes.
You won't, Jacob. I can tell by the way you were studying that you're just exactly ready to be 13 years old this Saturday.
I like that, Yitzhak.
Like what?
To know from now on how old I am.
But, Yitzhak, it's impossible. This is the worst time of year to plant an orange tree.
I can't help it, David. I asked him what he wants as a bar mitzvah gift. He said he wants a tree.
Then let him have his tree. But let him plant it in the right season.
He wants to plant it now, in front of his window.
It's out of the question, Yitzhak.
David, I don't think this is a childish whim. I think it's important for Jacob.
If it's important, what will happen if the tree doesn't grow? How will he feel when the tree dies?
He says he knows it will grow.
Well, if it must be done, do it. But prepare the ground well and keep the sapling covered with burlap.
Thank you, David. I knew you'd understand.
I don't understand. I'm taking your word for it that it's important for the boy. Just why it's important, I don't know.
I'll tell you, David, the way he told me. In all the terrible places he'd been, he says, there were no trees. He says, where they plant trees, they don't hurt little children.
The sapling, which was Yitzhak's bar mitzvah gift to me, came from the village nursery the following week. Together we dug the hole and filled it with water. And when the sun was at its highest, we lowered my little tree, wrapped like a baby in burlap, into its new home.
Oh, gently, Jacob, gently. The tree has tender roots.
I know, Yitzhak. I'm being careful.
Now, we cut the ropes that hold the burlap.
Can I do it?
Yes, you do it. Ah, there, that's fine. Now, more water, fertilizer, and the earth.
It's done. Even covered up, Yitzhak. Look how proud he looks.
Who?
Our tree.
Oh, not he, Jacob. It.
Isn't the tree alive?
Oh, yes, but not like a person.
How not like a person?
All right, let it go. He looks very proud.
Yes, he does.
You'll have to take special care of the tree, Jacob.
I will. And you'll help me?
Only for a few days, Jacob. You see, I'm going away.
Going away? Why?
I have to. There's a war, Jacob. The Arabs are fighting.
Let them fight.
No, Jacob. They're fighting against us. I must go.
Don't go, Yitzhak. They'll hurt you. They'll kill you the way they killed my father.
No, they won't, Jacob. I promise you they won't stop crying there.
I'm not crying.
All right. Now, I want you to understand this. If we're to have our own country here, we each have to work at it. My job right now is to fight for our independence.
I'll go with you.
No, Jacob, your job is to take care of this tree.
But I wanted to take care of it with you.
Now, you said before, this tree was like a person. You and I, we planted this tree together. While the tree grows, part of me is right here with you.
All right, Yitzhak. I'll take care of the part of you that's in the tree. But please, you take care of the other part of you.
I'll do my best, Jacob, I promise.
Anyway, it's one of the reasons I wanted a tree, Yitzhak.
What is?
Once you plant a tree, it stays there. A tree can't go away.
I tended the tree at my window. Only on the sunniest days did I dare peek beneath the burlap to see if leaf buds were forming. But day passed after day, and week after week, and I wondered if my tree were dead or alive. Even my best friend Yaffa didn't believe a tree planted in November could survive.
Jacob, why don't you give up? Your tree will never grow.
It must grow, Yaffa. It must.
The time you spend on the tree, Jacob, you could be learning more things in the workshops than in the fields.
I'm learning lots of things, Yaffa. I only tend the tree in my free time.
But it won't grow.
Don't say that, Yaffa. It must grow. Part of Yitzhak is in this tree.
I used to stop each morning on the way to school, all through those winter months. And I had a greeting for the little burlap-covered sapling that stood before my window.
Shalom, Yitzhak.
And in the evenings, just before I went to sleep, I would lean out the window.
Good night, Yitzhak.
And sometimes when it seemed that Yitzhak had been away so long, I would dream.
It would be a big tree, a strong tree, just like Yitzhak. And its leaves will be green and beautiful. Birds will sing from my tree. And its big branches, which reach so to the sky, will stretch out and hug me and hold me tight.
It was during the week of Passover, the festival of our freedom, that David, our principal, came looking for me.
Jacob, come over here. Here, next to me. Jacob, I have to tell you something.
What, David?
It isn't easy. I had a letter this morning.
From Yitzhak? Was it from Yitzhak, David?
Not from Yitzhak, Jacob. About Yitzhak.
About him? About him? He's coming back? Is he coming back, David?
No. No, he isn't coming back. The letter had bad news in it, Jacob.
What's happened to him, David? Was he wounded? Please tell me. Was he wounded?
No, Jacob. Worse.
Worse?
Jacob, I wish there was something I could do. Yitzhak isn't ever coming back.
I walked to my little tree, wrapped in its burlap. And I said the Kaddish for the part of Yitzhak that had been killed in battle. And then I forgot about the tree, and for almost a month no longer looked to see if it was growing. But in the middle of May, the State of Israel was proclaimed, and there was a great celebration in our children's village.
Jacob, Jacob, why don't you come dance with me?
I don't feel like dancing, Yaffa.
I know, Jacob. You're thinking about Yitzhak again.
How can everyone be so happy?
Jacob, don't you understand? Yitzhak would be glad and happy today. Thousands of people have died, so this day could happen.
Yitzhak is dead. My tree is dead. And sometime...
Don't talk that way, Jacob. Not on a day like this. And are you sure the tree isn't growing? When did you look beneath the burlap last?
Not since the day that they told us Yitzhak wasn't coming back.
But that was a month ago, Jacob, and this is May. Let's take the burlap off.
No. Please, Yaffa, don't touch it.
You turn your back to the tree, Jacob. I know how you feel.
Please don't take the burlap off, Yaffa. Please.
Turn around. There, like that. Jacob. Jacob, look. Do you see the leaves? Your tree's alive.
In the year of Israel's rebirth, the year of my bar mitzvah, the first green leaf buds came. The first green branches sprouted the following spring in the year that Israel was accepted by the family of nations. And in the spring of 1950, the branches put forth leaves. It was the year we put up dormitories for the new children.
Jacob! Jacob! Stop for a minute, Jacob! Come on down.
Coming. It looks pretty, doesn't it? A little paint.
The paint can wait. We have a new group of children coming in today.
How many, David?
50.
From Yemen again?
No. This time from Morocco. They're arriving at 4. I'd like you to help get them settled again.
I'll be there.
Fine. You know, Jacob, you've become an excellent carpenter.
Thank you, David.
But I'm going to ask you not to work on the next dormitory.
Not to work on the next? Why? Have I done anything wrong?
No, Jacob. You're a good builder. But you build even better with human material. While the others build houses, I want you to build the children who come to live in them.
In the shade of the tree at my window that year, I sat with the new children trying to help them understand the way of their new land, trying to help them feel at home, preparing them also to take my place when I would leave. The orange blossoms were bright upon my tree when David summoned me again to his office, the office into which I had first walked 4 years before.
Jacob, how would you like to remain in the village?
But, David, I'm graduating in a month.
I know.
But we have a problem, Jacob. The children keep coming to us. They keep coming to Israel. There are no teachers.
What have I to do with that?
We'll train you. Right here. You'll make a wonderful teacher.
I'm flattered, David.
Good.
But I don't want to be a teacher.
What's wrong with being a teacher? I'm a teacher.
Nothing. I didn't mean it that way.
Then how do you mean it?
David, I've been here 4 years. I've learned everything I can about building houses. I've learned how to live with other people and what Israel means. Now I want to get out into the world.
This is part of the world, Jacob.
I don't think you understand me. I want to help build our country. I want to do my share.
Not every man has the same mission, Jacob.
But...
All these things you want to do, you couldn't do them more effectively than if you stayed right here, teaching the new children.
Well, I wasn't saying teaching isn't important, David, but putting up houses, that's important, too.
Of course it's important. That's why most of your class is being encouraged to settle on the land.
Well, then what's wrong with me?
Take my word for it. It may not seem as dramatic.
I'm sorry, David. We need houses. If I have a skill, shouldn't I be using it?
Of course, Jacob. And you'll make your own decision. But before you do, I want you to think of one other thing. Do you remember what Yitzhak was to you?
How could I forget? He was everything to me.
What Yitzhak was to you, that's what you'd be to the children who are coming now.
I could be that important to them?
To them and to all of Israel.
Can I think it over?
Naturally, Jacob. I know when you have, you'll decide to stay.
I went to my room, and I sat and looked at the tree by my window, and it seemed to me that I could hear the voice of Yitzhak.
Stay, Jacob. It is better that you stay.
But I want to leave, Yitzhak.
You have a responsibility, Jacob.
I have a responsibility to build the land.
There are many ways of building. The obvious choice is not always the correct choice, Jacob.
But I'm needed. Wherever they're building houses, I'm needed.
A man must work where he is most needed, Jacob.
Yitzhak, don't you understand? All of the others are going.
Jacob, it is right for the others to go. It is right for you to stay.
Why? Why is it right for me to stay, Yitzhak?
Because you have been given an inheritance, Jacob, and that inheritance must be passed forward.
I'm beginning to see.
The children, they're our future. Teach them well, Jacob, and you'll build 1,000 houses. You will build houses in the cities and the settlements, in Galilee and in the Negev.
All right, Yitzhak. I'll stay right here.
I knew you would.
You knew? Even before I knew?
Of course, Jacob. I knew, because part of me is not only in this tree. There is part of me in you. And in you and through you, I live. And like our tree, I grow.
There is a tree at my window. It may not seem a big thing to you, but for me, in a way, it's everything in the world. For the tree is Yitzhak, and this children's village, and Israel. And as it grows, I grow. It is 10 years since the tree was planted, and now that I am a teacher of children and understand these things, I tell you that I know that Yitzhak and I were not alone when we planted the tree. The unseen hands of untold generations. The unseen hands of countless friends across the oceans. The unseen hands of an ordered destiny prepared the soil and helped to keep my tree alive so that in this season and this time it would bear fruit for all to see.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. William Silk, an outstanding leader in the philanthropic, religious, and civic life of Philadelphia. Mr. Silk.
As I listen to today's moving program about the boy, Jacob's fulfillment as a human being in Israel, I thought how well this play demonstrates the fact that Israel represents more than a future to the homeless Jews of the world who have been uprooted from their past. The word uprooted is the key here, for these people have had their immediate personal tasks taken away from them, and there can be no future for people without a past. Thus Israel has restored roots to the homeless, and just as Jacob's tree took root in the soil of Israel, so Jacob and thousands like him are also carving out a place for themselves in Israel. In the process, the past has been restored to them. It may be asked whether a country as young as Israel, which is this year celebrating its 10th anniversary, can provide the rich tradition needed to replace that which recent settlers left behind in Europe, Asia, and Africa. But Israel represents a tradition which goes back to the time of Abraham, over 3,500 years, and this is a monumental past which all Jews can claim as their own. I have personally witnessed the putting down of roots, the planting of trees, covering the battered hills, draining the swamps, and beautifying the cities. At such moments, one experiences with all his being the reality of the heritage of the past and prays with all his heart for the fulfillment of the promise of the future. Israel's prophets knew that no people can live in peace in this world unless there is peace for all of mankind. And what the little state of Israel needs as it enters its second decade, all of us need equally urgently, for none of us can have the sense of being at home in this world unless we can look forward to a future in which to make permanent the achievements of the past.
Thank you, Mr. Silk. Our Eternal Light drama today, Tree at My Window, was written by Mark Siegel and was based on material supplied by the Mizrahi Women's Organization of America. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Peter Lazor as young Jacob, with Bill Lipton as the older Jacob. Ken Rapief was Yitzhak, Santos Ortega, David, and Rita Gardner was Yaffa. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by Scott Buckley. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.